your VIP right this way. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fish Fry, this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by EEJournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Verification of all sorts is the name of the game this week. Moshik Rubin joins me a little later on to discuss the challenges of SOC verification. But before we bring in Moshik, let's talk about the verification of our AI. Now, how do we know that what our neural networks are telling us should be trusted? That's an interesting quandary, right? Can we build confidence into our neural networks so they can answer that for us? Well, according to a new study out of MIT and Harvard, we can, and it won't break the computational bank. So, a team of researchers led by Alexander Amini and his colleagues at MIT and Harvard have found a new way for neural networks to not only come up with a prediction based on data, but also a confidence level based on the quality of that data, called deep evidential regression. So we've had this problem for a while, and there have been attempts to solve this AI confidence challenge. But until now, those solutions were mostly based around Bayesian deep learning and involved running a neural network many times over to understand its confidence. But as you can imagine, that kind of process is slow and involves a lot of computational heavy lifting, something that can't happen in a split second, when it may need to. So, how is this new system different? Well, it actually only uses a single run of a neural network. In the output for their neural network, this team designed it so it would not only produce decisions based on the data, but also a probabilistic distribution called evidential distribution that actually captures the evidence in support of that decision. These distributions also include uncertainty present in the underlying input data, as well as in the model's final decision. That's the important aspect here, because this distinction can determine whether the uncertainty can be fixed by altering the neural network itself, or whether it was just the input that was the issue. So how did they test these new evidential distributions? Well, they first used a test that included a monocular color image where they estimated a depth value, or the distance from the camera lens to each pixel. Why this kind of test? Well, this type of task would easily be included in an autonomous vehicle design, for instance, where it would use similar calculations to estimate its proximity to another car or even a pedestrian. And what they found was really cool. Not only did this new neural network perform better than other neural networks, but it also projected a high uncertainty for pixels where it predicted the wrong depth. And it even knew when the images had been doctored. This team tested these distributions using a variety of indoor scenes, outdoor scenes, and even a stress test of sorts, where it increased the noise levels of each batch of images. While the changes to these images were barely perceptible to the human eye, the network caught them right away and tagged their output with high levels of uncertainty. So, can we make AI smarter by encouraging it to know when it's wrong? This team led by Alexander Amini believes we can. He puts this project in perspective like this. He says, "We're going to see a lot more of these models trickled out of the research lab and into the real world, into situations that are touching humans with potentially life-threatening consequences. Any user of the method, whether it's a doctor or a person in a passenger seat of a vehicle, needs to be aware of any risk or uncertainty associated with that decision. Any field that is going to have deployable machine learning ultimately needs to have reliable uncertainty awareness." Wow, I couldn't agree with Mr. Amini anymore. So, if you want even further information about this super cool study, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Moshik to talk about SOC verification and Cadence's new System VIP. Let's go. Hi, Moshik. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're talking about Cadence VIP today, but as a bit of a background here, what do you see are the biggest challenges of SOC verification today? Now, system-level solutions are needed more today than ever before, right, Moshik?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are. So SOC verification was never a simple task, but in the last decade or so, we see the level of challenges growing dramatically. And it is driven mainly by the transition to multi-core and heterogeneous SoC architectures, right? You see multiple domain-specific accelerators, you know, for fish detection and AI engines, and of course, multi-core CPUs and GPUs. And all of that create new level of challenges for SOC level verification, like cache coherency, power, performance testing, right? And those challenges traditionally were taken care of by the processor provider, right? ARM, Intel, AMD. In the previous era, they were taking care of all of those aspects. But today, it's actually pushed out to the SOC level guys, designer and verification, and they need to handle all those verification challenges. So definitely, it's growing. And that's, of course, the reason that we came up with this new product line.
Okay, so Moshik, let's talk specifically about Cadence System VIP. What is this system made up of? And what kind of components are we really talking about here?
Sure. So we call it System VIP because the traditional verification AP takes care about stimulus, about checking and analysis, but it does it at the IP level, right? It does it at the PCI Express or AXI or USB level, you know, and taking care of all those three main aspects at that level. System VIP still address the same premise, stimulus, analysis, checking, but they are taking it to the system level, to the SOC level. And at that level, when you talk about stimulus, we are talking about kind of libraries that are driving tests on multiple interfaces and multiple CPUs and cores within a portable stimulus language, PSS. So that's one component, which we call it system traffic libraries. The other part of kind of the stimulus is the build of the test bench itself. And we are talking with customers that have hundreds of different agents and interfaces across their SoC. And what they are struggling with is to build it all together. It takes them a long time and it's kind of a manual error prone. So the second component is what we call system test bench generator that enables you to automatically build your test bench with input through spreadsheet or some XML file. Now on the analysis and checking side, we have two main tools. One of them is all about checking, but again, not at the IP level, but at the SOC level, checking cache coherency, checking that the data is traveling correctly from one side of the SOC through the interconnect all the way to the memory. And that's a component called system scoreboard of our verification. And last but not least is our system performance analyzer. And here we are talking about a tool that monitors your SOC, looking at all the different interfaces, all the different memories, and provide out-of-the-box performance analysis, telling you what is the overall performance, what is the overall throughput, what is the overall latency from specific interfaces, and enable you to kind of drill down and debug specifically performance metrics of specific components on your SOC. So those are kind of the main four components of the System VIP. It's kind of tools loaded with predefined content, basically to speed up and automate the SOC level verification.
Okay, so Moshik, where does this fit into the entire Cadence ecosystem?
So Cadence on the verification front has a comprehensive suite of tools and platforms, right? We have kind of a formal platform for called Jasper for formal verification. We, of course, having the logic simulator, Excellium, mainly for kind of IP level or SOC simulation. And then we have Palladium for kind of hardware emulation. and Protium for FPGA prototyping. Now, the system VAP plays really nice with all those components because one critical aspect of that is that it is multi-platform and multi-engine solution, right? When we're talking about system and SoC, one of the observations we made is that customers need component that can work in different phases of the verification. So they can take the same stimulus, the same library, and run it in either simulation or later in emulation all the way to the silicon. Or when they are doing performance analysis, they want to do it on the simulation when they are doing just kind of the subsystem, but then take it also to the on top of Palladium and hardware emulation because they really want to, whatever, run Angry Birds and still see that, you know, all the performance metrics are met. So the system VAP is really kind of an orthogonal solution on top of all the different components that Kenneth offers for verification.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, Moshik, where do you see the future of chip level verification headed in the future?
So I think that it's funny because, you know, I think I'm 20 years in this business. And if you asked me 20 years ago, I would probably tell you, oh, it's all going to be done automatically. You'll just push the button and everything would happen. And 20 years later, we are not that far from where we started. But I think right now, what we see very clearly is that more and more intelligence is getting into the tool, and specifically for those complicated chip level verification. And we just announced Xcelium ML, the tech machine learning and applied to optimization of regression. And I think the very next thing that we are looking at, and I think the whole industry is looking at, is how to leverage machine learning into chip level verification to optimize the content, right? Not just kind of take on the shelf predefined content and run it and, you know, hope that it's good enough for you and then add on top of that later on, but have the content, the test, the scenarios, the metrics, the analysis optimized itself based on kind of machine learning algorithm and improving itself from one run to another. So I think that's going to be a very, very significant change if you are looking, I don't know, 5 or even 10 years from now.
Excellent. Well, Moshik, I think that's almost all the time I have for you today. But before we go, a little off the cuff. Now, this is our little COVID special lately. So a lot of restaurants or countries have been shut down lately. If you could have one meal from anywhere in the world right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant's closed, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
So I was just relocating back from the US to Israel. So I spent several years in the US and now I came back to Israel. So probably if you ask me that question 3 months ago, before I moved back, I will tell you, hey, I would do anything to get a good plate of hummus from my favorite Israeli restaurant. But now that I'm on that side of the world, I would tell you that I miss some good Texas steak that can't really find here in Israel. So that would be my choice.
Excellent. I like the changing of answers there. That's awesome. Well, Moshik, I think that's all I have time for now. Thank you so much for joining me.
Excellent. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, the iTunes Store, or a whole lot of other places. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or if you really just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 11th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.